This is going to be called the Come Together episode of Business Beat. Who knew that talking about business could be so exhausting and full of ennui and angst and pain? We like to talk about hot dogs and, you know, beer, and here we are, like, so deep into this chasm of misunderstandings. And I don't feel like we can do ourselves credit as a business team not to talk about the struggle that people who run businesses are going through right now. And I thought that today, this episode could be a way. You're a PR specialist, David. You've done marketing. You know a little bit about how, you know, things work. We do quite a bit of it on ourselves. We guide companies a lot on messaging. And, you know, for Business Beat this week, we thought we would offer our free consulting services on how not to get completely overhauled in this environment right now. I think that we're seeing sort of a quagmire for people. And I think it's really hard, and there's some fatigue in, and people are breaking down and maybe saying or doing things that they probably don't really mean to do because they're frustrated. And I think that we should just kind of talk from a leadership standpoint and really make it clear that life has changed. Life is different now. And the stuff that we used to do when we were in sixth grade is no longer stuff that we can do going forward. And I'll just leave it at that, and I'll open up the floor to Business Beat this week with David Ginsberg and Aaron Haynes and Ian Barrett.
I mean, it feels like last week's show was a year ago. The pace of every day at this point is just so overwhelming. But we've seen in the intervening week since our last show, and, you know, Aaron had said privately that, you know, if these people would watch Business Beat, we could have saved them a giant headache along the way. And I think there's some truth to that. Leadership, you know, and I get the stresses, the times we're living in after 3 months of lockdowns and economic shutdowns and the impact they're in, people's frustration builds. But in the end, if you're a leader of a business, you still have a responsibility to present yourself and your company in the best light possible. We've certainly seen enough CEOs locally and nationally that have fallen short of that. I mean, last week we were talking about the CrossFit guy and his stupid remarks, and he was pushed out immediately. We've seen a couple of local instances this week, and it's very sad. But in the end, and one of the things that I have to make mention of this, and I said this on the show last week, freedom of speech doesn't mean you're free of consequences. And we've seen that this week in people's sort of illogical defenses of the First Amendment. You can't speak your mind. You can speak your mind, but people are going to react to it. And there are consequences. You will be held accountable. And unfortunately, sometimes those consequences will affect people that were innocent and had nothing to do with what you said, but were caught because they work for your company, that's now getting dragged and forcing CEOs out, and people have an entirely different perception of the business they're in. There's a massive impact on people that really aren't at fault, and that part of it is very sad. But I also think that we're seeing a pace of change that is really transformational for us, and we've never experienced this pace of change in our country before, at least in our lives. And it's changing so rapidly that it's hard to keep up with it, and people's heads are spinning.
People need to listen now more than ever, particularly if you're in business, because as you pointed out, things are moving very fast, and you were absolutely right. What you said yesterday that was an off-color remark, it wasn't okay yesterday, but today people feel empowered to point out that you should rethink your words.
Yeah.
So just choose them carefully and listen. Listen with open ears. Don't particularly right now, you need to go to the people that you work with and work for you, and you need to talk to them about their experiences, and you need to stop yourself from reacting when you hear that if their experience is negative. You can't then tell them, oh, well, that's because of this. Don't lay excuses. You just have to listen.
I think that's such a great point about not making excuses or weighing in with a counterpoint. Just listen and absorb. At some point, we've lost the ability to just listen without having a counter opinion or needing to only hear things that we already agree with and stay within our confirmation biases. Just listening to a different opinion doesn't mean it's going to change your opinion. I mean, it may in some cases, but it doesn't mean you automatically agree with that opinion just by hearing it. And we've lost the ability to discern between those two things. It's okay to listen to other people's points of view just to hear where they're coming from and maybe understand a little bit better that your experience in this country and in your life is probably going to be a lot different than that person's experience in this country. And what you've gone through day to day as you go about in your relatively safe structure may not be the same as what some other people are struggling with day in and day out simply because of the color of their skin or what they're wearing or where they come from originally.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point about listening, but let's talk about the next level of it, which is what's your action? And what the internet has done and what Facebook has done and what Twitter has done and Instagram has done is created a platform for you to take 140 characters or a limited amount of words and an image and just jam a ton of meaning into it. Those inspirational posters of the kitty hanging onto the branch, hang in there, right? I mean, it's iconic, right? Hang in there. I get that. I feel that kitty struggle. Guess what? When you post the images that you post and add the text to it, there is a ton of context around that. And you got to ask yourself, what am I trying to accomplish with this communication? Now, there's a lot of people who are CEOs who can fancy themselves thought leaders or some sort of moral leaders or some sort of intellect bosses because they've run excellent companies. I will tell you from our personal experience that people who start companies are quite frankly not the people that should be continuing to run the companies, because what it takes to start a company up and what it takes to keep a company going are two different skill sets.
For sure. And again, it's at a time when the sloganeering of "we're all in this together," which is profoundly untrue, but you hear it everywhere that, you know, we're all in this together. We're not all experiencing this in the same way. Some of us are much more impacted, even without getting sick, are much more impacted than some other people are. But this notion that we're all in it together becomes this guise of being able to treat people poorly and not recognizing, you know, where we've fallen short previously in our operations, in our approaches, in our assumptions of other people. And part of the reason we're seeing such rapid change happening, I mean, one of the stories that I know we both looked at this morning was after 131 years, Aunt Jemima is going to be renamed and they're going to get rid of the image on the box or on the package of the syrup, rather. The pace of change is so extraordinary that people, there's growing recognition, rather, that we can't operate in the past. And people, the smart business leaders, are seeing the fallout that we've seen happen across the country.
It was, Aunt Jemima should have gone away in the 70s. People have been pushing for Aunt Jemima to go away at least since then, probably before that, but I would say that is when people with less melanin became aware that perhaps it was hurtful for people with more melanin to see that image. I mean, I'm a child of the 80s and 90s. I grew up, we had Aunt Jemima syrup, and I remember being six and looking, I just loved the picture. And because I just loved the way it looked, the colors and everything. And my mom, I remember my mother explaining to me that I shouldn't like that picture. You know, she still bought it because I don't know why she still bought it. I can't tell you why. Maybe there wasn't another pancake syrup in her budget range. I have no idea. But I remember learning at six that wasn't okay. That was 1987. And so here we are in this moment. And people are like, oh my gosh, this is so much change, so much, so quickly. Oh my gosh, this is, you know, why is it suddenly not okay? It wasn't okay. We've been talking about this for 30, 40 years, but the problem is not enough people were listening. They still thought it was okay. The people who wanted this change weren't in a position of power. And luckily for us, that's been changing. Those perspectives are now something that more and more people are hearing. You see it in our education system too, all the protests about Christopher Columbus statues around the country. Christopher Columbus never discovered America. That was never a thing. The Vikings did. I don't really know why.
You can't discover a country that's already inhabited.
Yes, I'm sorry, and I should have said that. First of all, you can't discover it because there are people here. It wasn't like a deserted island, an enormous island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Second of all, he wasn't the first white person to discover it. The Vikings did. That's always been the case. And at least my parents, my experience is that my parents told me after I came home, no, that's not true. Your teachers are just sort of wrapping this up for you. And that's become like the norm. No, that's actually not true that your teachers are just wrapping this up for you. It's just a nice story. But we have all these people whose parents maybe didn't say that to them.
We learn as we go. And it's okay that you learned something else when you were growing up, but sometimes you gotta let it go. And guess what? The Confederate flag and Christopher Columbus and some of these other things that you grew up loving aren't okay anymore, just like it's not okay to have Aunt Jemima on a bottle of syrup anymore. And I don't know, I'm trying to say that in a loving, caring way to you guys, for people who are struggling with this. I get it. I feel it, but you also have to understand, we all grow up too.
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And, you know, and you can make the same comparison with the Washington Redskins football team that for years people have been saying, change the name, change the name. And the owner refuses to do so. But, there's other issues with him. He's a schmuck, as we would say. But there's this foundational myth of America that we've been taught, that this whitewashed history, because history, as Howard Zinn pointed out a long time ago, was written by the winners. So this whitewashed history that we're taught, that Columbus discovered America and everything, they had this beautiful first Thanksgiving with the Indians, they leave out the genocidal part and destroying the tens of millions of people. And then their ancestors were then placed on reservations with 80% unemployment rates and huge alcoholism rates. And for there's people that just don't want to accept the harsh reality of this country for 350 years. And for a lot of people, that's hard to swallow. It's hard to reconcile what you've taught, what you thought you've known your entire life with the reality of what other people have experienced throughout their lives in the same country. And at some point, there has to be some cognition that we do need to make a fundamental change for the better. A lot of people are accepting that and ready to move forward and say, okay, we need to change how we speak. We need to not make heroes out of villains. And we need to create a more equitable system so that we don't keep having these deeper divides in our country that affects every single thing that we do in each of our lives.
Right. And the idea that there's any one way to do it is also wrong. If we pay attention to history, and once again, as a business leader, you know, I don't know what everybody's backgrounds are. I don't know how much history you paid attention to, how much literature you've read. Erin has a deep background in literature, especially ethnic literature, which is what you have your degree in. And her perspective is, you know, is kind of enhanced by that. She can speak to that directly. On my standpoint, we've always called the United States a melting pot. And we've always talked about how all the populations made it a melting pot, and that's what makes us stronger. And this isn't brand new. If you go back to Ireland and you go back to 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago, there is a term that they say in Gaelic. I'm not going to attempt to speak Gaelic in front of you right now, but it's called more Irish than Irish. And what happened was when they came into Ireland, the French knights, the Normans, the Spanish, the British all came into Ireland, and they didn't just stay up in Dublin. They moved through, and Vikings as well, and they moved through Ireland and they adopted it and they became an Irish culture where they became more Irish than the Irish people that they had quote unquote conquered. So did you really conquer that country, or did you bring the best of what you have to that? And we're in a melting pot right now. We're seeing a dynamic change in what's going on right now. And this is going to be the best America we can be if we just accept that this isn't brand new. This has been going on for thousands and thousands of years. And it's our turn now to understand that this assimilation and this growing up and this learning to do new ways becomes the new America, which is stronger than the old America. That's what it's all about, man. And I don't think that there should be fear attached to that. I don't think people should be afraid of being better.
New information shouldn't be a threat. And unfortunately, it feels like that. And I think anyone can understand that. I don't think that that's something that you have to go too far into yourself to feel. When someone tells you something that you believe to be true is not true, your first instinct is your shoulders up, like, oh. And you see a lot of people who've never questioned what they've been taught because they haven't had to. There's a huge swath of people don't have the time to question what they were taught anyway because of, you know, the economic disparities in our country. Some people are more inclined than others. The simple fact of the matter is the way that you experience life is different from the way that I experience life, which is different from the way he experiences life. We could all go to the exact same party, you know, when COVID's gone, and we'll all have different experiences talking to the same person. And you have to sort of break it down and make it small like that in order to sort of begin to understand that perhaps your community, your neighborhood's experience is different than, you know, the neighborhood three blocks down's experience.
So Akira Kurosawa had a film called Rashomon, which is an amazing film. You should watch it. But Rashomon is the same story told through different people's eyes of the same exact event. That's what we've got going on right now. We're all dealing with the same event right now, but we're seeing the story told from different perspectives. And so I actually go out of my way because of the lessons I learned from Rashomon to make sure that I gather as much of a swath of information from a wide area as possible. I like to see what Fox is saying. I like to see what the Guardian UK is saying. I like to read what the India Times is saying. I like to read the Business Insider. I like to look at all the stuff. I like to see the differences between what the BBC posts on something and what the Irish post about something. And in the comparing and contrasting those things, the truth lies somewhere based on my emotional understanding, my education, and my ability to want to be better and want to learn more every single day. And it's an everyday struggle. If you stopped learning, if you stopped educating, if you stopped reading, and you look at news media as the only source of your growth, you're not probably the person that should be posting anything on Facebook about how you feel about stuff. I think you should probably realize that it's a much larger template. And so when we get accused of only grabbing one source of information, I have to beg to differ about that. I think that we really go out of our way to pull a perspective. We've been talking about things that are 48,000 years old and things that are yesterday. And we try to bring that to the conversation every time we talk.
I agree, and I'm similar. I think we're all sort of news junkies by default, so there's that. I was an English major in college. I studied a lot of comparative literature. You know, we live in an era where there's such a fractured media universe. I mean, there's sort of the mainstream pieces that we all know and like, and then there's the fringe pieces on either side to the extremes. One of the things that frustrates me is that in lieu of getting divergent viewpoints from legitimate news sources, people substitute that for sharing a meme on Facebook that does their thinking for them, and most of them either have logical fallacies or false equivalencies. I saw one this morning, a friend of mine posted that, you know, a friend of mine leans much more to the right than I ever will, that one of these dumb memes that, you know, if you follow the law, you won't get arrested, which is complete nonsense. The whole point of the Black Lives Matter movement is that you can be arrested and the cops can mess with you simply because of the color of your skin and what you're wearing. You miss the point. Study why people are protesting, why the George Floyd murder was a catalyst for the protests we're seeing across the country. Watch Dave Chappelle's last special, the 27-minute one that's on YouTube. It'll change your thinking for, hopefully, for the rest of your life. It's an amazing piece of really, he's preaching. It's not really a comedy special. It's him really just opening his mind and letting out the rage and fury he feels as a black man in America that has seen this far too many times. Understand how, even though you may not be suffering, other people are suffering. It's okay. At some point, when do we lose the ability to have empathy for other people simply because they're struggling, even though we may not be? It's infuriating to me. And spend the time on your own to find sources of media that will give you the full perspective, the Rashomon perspective, as opposed to just the single bubble reinforcing piece that you're comfortable with because you're comfortable with it.
I'll jump in real quickly because we talk about Floyd, Mr. Floyd, and that incident. That wasn't the only thing. This was a whole sum of really not awesome things that were going on, spring into summer. There's no contrast there. There's no other statement there. And you would think that there was some lessons that were going on right here, but we're still struggling with that. So Jay Farrow from SNL, who lives in Los Angeles, he's a former cast member. He's a black eyed person of color, was walking down the street in LA and he was pulled over by a squad car and two officers at gunpoint, forced to lay on his stomach, hands up. They kneeled on his neck. They cuffed him because he resembled a suspect in an armed robbery. They obviously let him go because he obviously didn't do anything wrong. But that didn't happen 6 months ago. That happened a couple of days ago. And you're asking yourself, are we learning? Are we moving forward here? Is this going? So when you make a Facebook post and you make fun about kneeling, or you try to tie Colin Kaepernick back into this whole situation in a negative way, I think you're missing the point, guys. I mean, I think at this point you have to look at the evidence and say, hey, maybe let's not talk about that. Maybe let's start to understand that there might be a problem here, and maybe there's a more constructive way to talk about my unsettled personage or my frustrations than to go pick a meme and have that speak for me. Because the minute you post something that somebody else made, you're a pawn. It's not a thought leader. You're not a hero. You are a pawn that is more than likely being used by state media in Russia, state media in China, state media in countries that look to see us do poorly, Russia, right? And you just willingly participated in that. Stop. Just everybody stop for 5 seconds and think about it. Let's go back to education. We'll make an analogy. The bus at school. I grew up, I'm multi-ethnic. I have a very diverse background. Growing up, the stuff I dealt with, I mean, I could go on for hours about it, the little things and the big things. If you're on the bus and somebody is doing something bad to somebody else because they're a person of color and you just sit there, part of the problem. All you need to do is say, hey, bro, cut it out. That's stupid, man. And the whole idea that people are asking you to say BLM or post something about BLM or Black Lives Matter isn't you condescending, isn't you being taken control of. It's you saying, hey, Tommy, I got your back. Hey, Billy, I got your back. I don't understand why people feel they're being forced when in reality, these people were asking for help. We're asking you to understand that this is a problem and that you're not going to be complicit and compliant in this situation. And this is super offensive to lots of people right now. And I want you to know that's not what it's about. It's not about forcing you to say this. And even if you do feel a little bit forced, that's one moment of your day to say one thing when this is some people's entire lives. And whether you're a former star of SNL getting pulled up by four LA cops at gunpoint and kneel on your own neck, that part of his life never changes. All you have to do is say, you know what, I'm down with it. I know that's not my experience. I support you. I don't understand all of it. I'm gonna try to learn. But you know, for Christ's sake, man, just say something.
It comes right back to what Aaron said at the beginning of the show. Just listen, and really just listen. You don't have to offer an opinion. You don't have to, you know, offer your point of view and what you've experienced. Just sit back and listen and absorb as much as you can and really kind of let it marinate in your brain for a while, and it will change the way you think. You will see your perspective shifting a bit to at least recognize that although that hasn't been your experience in this country, for far too many people it has been, and it needs to change. And the only way to make a change is for all of us to understand that this is what we need to do to affect change in a large scale.
Just accept that you don't know everything. You get to a certain point, and especially if you have taken your education seriously, you think that you've uncovered enough stones to have a great perspective of the world. What you have to understand is that you're never, no one ever is gonna reach enlightenment. I mean, that's essentially what you think you've reached if you don't think you have more to learn. You think that you've reached enlightenment. No one reaches enlightenment. This is an enormous world. There are so many people here. There are so many different perspectives. There's so much you're never gonna know. So instead of, you know, feeling threatened when you find out that there's a whole other thing going on that you didn't know about, be grateful, curious, and follow that thread.
This is a great point. I think it's an excellent statement. And when people tell you Christopher Columbus is a problem, instead of just railing against an institution that got made into a statue, like obviously in England right now, they're dealing a lot now with former slave traders, who have these statues. And so what happened was these guys made their millions or billions back in that commerce, trading people's lives, human beings to other human beings for money. Probably the saddest time in human history. I mean, granted, people are gonna say, well, this has been going on since the Romans, it's been going on since the Egyptians. That doesn't make it okay, guys, okay? This is the 1800s that we're talking about. This is the 1700s we're talking about. So the statue of Colton got pulled down and thrown in the river, and this is out in Bristol, England. And you know, the people that are supporting this slave trader statue are saying, well, he gave all his money to the town to make it better. It sounds like to me the guy made a lot of money selling human beings, and at the end of the day wanted to whitewash his whole life and gave a bunch of dough away so you could put a statue out in front of him. But don't you think that any descendant of anybody who was ever traded for money looks at that statue and said, you're an oppressor, you're not a liberator, and you're not a philanthropist, and you're not a beacon of good in my world. And if you're gonna go put the statue up, it's like the Facebook post. What is the statue saying? The statue is saying, it's okay to trade slaves, it's okay to be involved in the death of 20,000 human beings, Colton specifically, I'm talking about him, just one guy, 20,000 humans. And I can put a statue up to you if you give a bunch of dough away at the very end.
What it says is that your trauma doesn't matter.
Yeah,
is what it means. We talk about PTSD. The PTSD is a real thing, and when you see that, when you see the statue of a guy who killed your ancestors or you know people who might have been ancestors to someone, that's got to be an ugly feeling every day.
I'm part American Indian, so when I hear about Christopher Columbus, I don't go off. I'm like, friend, it's just not true. And he's involved in the death of part of my heritage. So if you're going to talk about how important the Confederate flag is to you, I want to talk about the thousands of years of a beautiful culture that was systematically destroyed by colonialization.
Yeah, it's the same thing with what's going on with the Confederate monuments coming down across the South. It should have been come down a long time ago. Why were we glorifying people, traitors, which is what they were, the traitors to the Union that lost a war while they were trying to protect a way of life that was horrific for millions of people that weren't even counted as citizens? That's what you're fighting for. It's not your heritage. It's not your, well, you know, they were great military leaders. No, they weren't. They were not. They first of all, they lost. Secondly, what they were fighting for is abhorrent. It's time to move on. Every time someone of color walks by that statue, to Aaron's point a minute ago, they're reminded of the trauma that their ancestors suffered, stolen from another country, brought here to work as slaves, given zero rights, treated as property, and even less than. It's gross. At some point, you have to recognize this is part of the ugly heritage of this country, that the only way we can move forward from it is to take down these monuments to these losers and move forward in a way that it does create, I hate to say the word, but it is more inclusive for all of us. It's the only way to help things heal. And for one of the things that I think it's important to mention, you know, you hear these studies and whether they're anodyne or not, saying, you know, it's America in 10 years or 15 years is going to be a majority minority country. At some point, America is going to wake up and recognize that we're all citizens of this country and human beings, and the distinction between minority and majority should go away. Because it's another artificial divide that keeps people separated and fighting amongst themselves, while the real issue in this country, which is classism, and we live in an oligarchy, while they keep us fighting amongst each other, they're stealing everything.
That's an excellent, absolutely excellent point, the majority versus minority. Speaking of learning something new, I had never actually looked at it that way. Until right this minute.
Let's end with Abraham Lincoln. And I want to talk about Abraham Lincoln just briefly because I think it's an important point. When Abraham Lincoln was elected president, he actually campaigned that he would not attempt to change slavery legislation at all. But at a certain point in the presidency, it got pretty clear that that campaign wasn't going to work and that something needed to be done. And that's what happened here. And we should have learned then, which we are now relearning now, that there's a right way to do things, which includes making money, and there's a wrong way to do things. Let's get back on the right side of doing things properly and acknowledge that just because you did it that way yesterday doesn't mean that you need to do it that way tomorrow. And we can all be better people.
Yeah, agreed. I couldn't say it any better. We can all strive to be better. I said this before in the show. One of my sort of guiding philosophies in life is beginner's mind, that you can always learn more. There's always more to gain. You don't know it all. None of us do. We know a tiny fraction of the knowledge in the world. So keep an open mind, and you'll learn more, and you'll evolve as you go along with that. And it's actually a very healthy thing to do. You read things they may not always agree with. It doesn't mean you have to adopt their point of view. You just inform yourself a little bit better. You get to know people outside your traditional social circle and see what their lives have been like, and you learn from them. And last thing, I just want to make one quick mention, separate from our conversation, but for all of you watching on Facebook Live today, this is the WICN Summer in the City Fund Drive. It's only because of your support that we're able to make programming like Business Beat. It's essentially, we need your support. This has been a very difficult spring for us financially. If you're able to make a donation, go to the website, wicn.org, donate now. It takes 2 minutes to do. It really does mean the world to us in our ability to operate and bring you shows like Business Beat, et cetera.
It's an excellent point. Thanks for bringing us all together in our Come Together episode of Business Beat. Thank you, David. Thank you, Aaron. And I'm Ian Barrett. Thank you for watching Business Beat on WICN. And if you've got anything to add to the conversation, please share it on the Facebook. And we're here to listen and learn just like you are.